This is where passion meets positivity and optimism. In a world where bad news abounds, You Are Solid Gold with Michelle Lau celebrates the good in our lives and the beauty in the hidden gems around us. Welcome to You Are Solid Gold. Here she is, international television host and QVC jewelry expert, Michelle Lau.
Hi, everybody, and welcome back into another edition of You Are Solid Gold with Michelle Lau. That happens to be me. I'm going to introduce you today to a woman by the name of Morgan Overholt. And I met Morgan a number of years ago. We were working together in Tennessee near the Smoky Mountains. And my first impression, Morgan, of you was that you were really bright and you were really friendly. And what I liked best about you is you were a tell it like it is kind of a woman. I like that a lot. I really appreciate how direct you are. And I remember one day, Morgan and I had a conversation. We were talking about how difficult it is actually to be so social in a situation like where we were working, because we work crazy hours and it's a highly competitive market. And I asked her how she spent her free time, because like me, we had very little free time, she and I. She told me that she and her husband were graphic artists and that they were working on their side hustle. And it was really a passion for her, really a place where she felt a lot of value. And so one day, much like me, she took that giant leap of faith and made some major changes to her life. And I'm talking about a lot of changes. So by the time we're done today, you're going to get to know Morgan. You're going to see why I say she truly is a solid gold person and a solid gold friend to those around her. And in the few short years since I've known her, she's transitioned out of TV and she's turned that side hustle into not just one business, but two solid businesses. Morgan, welcome to the show.
I appreciate it, Michelle. And truly, I appreciate the very kind words. At the moment, my graphic design freelance is my primary business. We do about $300,000 of revenue per year. So I would say in the combined 4 years, we're a little bit over a million earned. I wouldn't say multi-millions yet, but we are certainly on track.
Oh my goodness. Well, you know, put it out there, right? You aspire,
yes,
and
exactly.
You achieve. So wonderful.
Yes.
You know, everywhere I turn, it seems like I'm also reading about you. I'm reading about you in a lot of different places. You've won and have been recognized in a lot of different arenas. Do you want to expound a little bit on that? I know it's uncomfortable to brag on yourself, but girl, you got to do it.
I got no problem bragging about myself. That's how you got to get ahead in this world. That's the absolute truth. No, I mean, it's just led to a lot of opportunities. You know, a lot of people have been really interested in hearing my story just because, as you know, it was a very difficult, you know, atmosphere. It was a difficult job to have, quite frankly.
Right.
And I did what everybody has ever dreamed about doing. It's the kind of thing I'm sure that we've all daydreamed about, even those of us who love our job at some point or another. I rage quit. I mean, I basically
rage quit. That's a new term for me. It's a rage quit. All right. So I get it. You get to the boiling point and it's easy to do there. It comes up like a simmer and then boom. So I understand that, but it's the push you needed to excel and to really move forward.
Exactly.
Right?
And that's the story everybody always wants to hear, right? They want to hear about, like, because that's the thing everyone fantasizes about. They want to hear how in the heck that happened, how I worked up the nerve to do it, what was I thinking? And then, you know, obviously, did it work out? And luckily for me, it did work out. Mm-hmm. And honestly, and that's what I try to tell other people. And that's a story that I do like to tell when I explain what kind of happened to me. I do not necessarily recommend rage quitting like I did. And I will tell you, I did have, full disclosure, a little bit more of a plan than I like to let on, because I had already told myself and told my husband that we were going to quit. I was going to quit that job within the end of the year anyway. So I did see it on the horizon and we did have certain things in motion. I just cut that short by about 6 or 7 months because I just, you know, I couldn't take it anymore, wouldn't it?
But packing everything up just in and of itself and moving to a different city, you know, and changing your life is really difficult. So let's start from the beginning.
You and I work for a home shopping network. Back in the day, not the one that you're at now, but back in the day, that's where we met. And I was just really stressed out, to be honest with you. As you said earlier, it was a lot of difficult hours, unpredictable hours. You weren't able, I mean, you know, because you were literally in this, we had the same time slot. I am preaching to the choir. You know, and you would think that there would be some consistency there, but you never worked the same day. You couldn't plan anything. There were like blackout dates. And And I woke up one day realizing that I hadn't even really seen my own family on any major holiday other than Christmas in like 2 years, because I worked every Saturday, you know, I worked every holiday. I was the one that always kind of got pegged for that stuff, you know, because I didn't have any kids. And they're like, ah, just give it to Morgan. But, you know, the thing that I think was...
And to be honest, I want to interrupt you, because some people might sit at home and say, well, that isn't that too bad. She was working this glamorous job. She was, you know, in front of the camera. Millions of people saw her every single day. Right. Guys, it's not like that. Morgan and I both are under no preconception that we were movie stars. Okay. We knew what we were doing. We had a passion for it. So she's not wham, wham, poor me. What she's doing is telling you factually that the life we were living was A, unhealthy, right? B, unfulfilling. Yeah. Right. Mm-hmm. And C, just not right. So
it wasn't right. On.
No, it wasn't.
Yeah. And thank you for that too. Cause people are always like, oh, what a sob story. You had this super glamorous job.
I understand.
You
know? Believe me.
Yeah. It just wasn't a good fit, you know? And that's the other thing I think we have to do. Cause I think a lot of times it does sound like you said, I complained too much about that job.
It was completely real. One of the reasons I wanted to do this with you today is there are millions of people out there that are staying in jobs that are unfulfilling to them and are not complementing who they are and what they're about. And they're staying way too long.
That's the thing that's really important here, because, you know, on paper, I should be fine, right? Just like buckle up, buttercup, figure it out. But why would we have to do that with so many other options out there that you can go find the thing that actually works for you? And it's okay, by the way, to admit defeat. Like, it's okay to say, hey, look, I made a bad decision here. This was my fault. I'm sorry. Let's redo it. How do we fix it? And I think that's okay. But so many of us, you know, we kind of get in our heads about it. We're ashamed. We think, well, I have to fix this by like doubling down and staying here, almost like the gambler's fallacy, right? Instead of just getting up from the table, we like put more money down, we put more time in. We're like, but next tomorrow, way to explain it.
It is. Yeah, it's perfect.
Next week, I'm going to hit my goals, you know, and next week they're going to like say, good job. We love having you here. I mean, you know, that's the kind of stuff that may never come, but you keep doubling down in all of your emotional investments and your time investments. And after a while, I just realized the stuff wasn't coming for me. And I had to start thinking, you know, what will fulfill me at the end of the day? Like, do I have to make a major career shift? You know, do I have to, you know, work for myself? What is it? And that was the whole journey that I had to go on. And that's what I always tell people too, because there's a lot that goes behind that while you're still in your job. Like before you ever get to the point that I was at, just coming to terms with what you really want in this world and what you're really willing to risk. Like for instance, for me, I knew when I entertained the idea of whether or not the grass could be greener on the other side, I knew the grass couldn't get a whole lot browner on this side. So I knew whatever it was, it had to be better than this. I knew I was at least worth this. And that was my starting point. And that gave me the faith to make that leap the day that I made the leap.
See, this is the piece, Morgan, that a lot of people miss. Like if they're unhappy in a job, it's really easy to stay in that unhappy place, right? And to say, I'm just going to leave. And sometimes you do have that rage quit and you leave and you don't have a plan. And that's when you start to spiral. So again, there's so many reasons I wanted to talk to you, but you are like me and that we always have something that makes us happy going in another direction. So you knew that, okay, this isn't working. This is what I need to do to get ready to take that plunge. So it felt like rage quitting, but in reality, you were really working at this for a long time before you took that leap of faith.
Yeah. I mean, I basically spent almost the entire year of employment when I was still working there, you know, coming up with an exit strategy. And I would definitely say some mornings I was much more keen on the exit strategy than other mornings. I was still very much on the fence, like,
Up with a boyfriend, right?
It's like angel devil on your shoulder. Yeah, it is like, it's almost like breaking up or any kind of a toxic relationship, to be honest with you, because you tell yourself, it'll be okay if you stay. And then you're like, it's really bad. We need to go today. You know, and you have that internal battle with yourself until one day the angel is getting more airtime than the devil. And you're like, okay, I do need to do something here. And that's basically the point
that I got at. Particularly hard for you. And I wanted to honor this in you today because I'm one of the few people in this world that can relate to this. Yes. I know it had to be particularly difficult to find that motivation after being up half of the night and being sleep deprived for 4 or 5 days in a row. So to find the gumption within yourself to then sit down in front of your computer and come up with a plan, come up with an exit strategy, build your business, do your branding, do everything that you had to do in order to get it to work. I really want to honor that, because that is the kind of grit that is going to make winners in this world, you know? And so I'm really happy to see your success, and I cheer it on here, even if I don't say so all the time. I'm just incredible.
Oh, no. And same to you and everything that you've accomplished. I mean, you know, then that was honestly one of the other things that gave me the faith to take the leap is women like yourself. Cause you know, it's a common misconception, and we've really talked about this a lot too, I think, in the home shopping industry, especially when you see people kind of come and go, and they call it the revolving door at certain networks and stations. And I always read, I do the thing we're never supposed to do. I read all the troll comments on the internet, you know, about ourselves, horrible things. And you're like, oh my God. But they always think that we hate each other, like the women hate each other,
or we're being catty
and all that stuff. And it's never, ever been the case. In fact, I was inspired. And that's how I knew I would be okay if I took the leap, because I saw what you did. You know, I saw what my other co-hosts did, people who left before me, you know, and made something way better of themselves. I don't know a single woman that walked away from that network and didn't find something even better afterward, almost immediately afterward.
And there are a couple stinkers. You know, there are some that I don't like. There are some that were difficult to work with. I'm just, again, telling it like it is. But the majority of us, we support one another, and everyone still stay in touch, you know. So we had Cheryl Ells on this show.
Oh, you did? I need to go look at that.
You should, actually, given what you were just talking about when you were talking about cyberbullying. And we talked a little bit about that with Cheryl. So anyway, back to you, because this is your day. I want to honor you and all that you've been able to accomplish. So when we were last talking about your journey about 5 minutes ago, we were talking about, you know, taking that leap of faith. So once you decided to do it, there you are with a house full of stuff. Nowhere to live. Tell me about that whole thing. That must have been a little shaky. It was for me.
So hilariously, like what you were saying earlier with the lack of sleep, when I rage quit, I was actually at the end of a 9-day straight where I'd had a single day off in 9 days, and they were all overnights, and they're mostly like two show blocks. It was 4-hour blocks on air at a time. And it was a day after Easter. So I'd also just worked a 4-hour block on Easter Sunday and missed that holiday as well after a 9-day straight. And so it's funny because like I got called to the meeting that Monday morning, and I was supposed to work again tomorrow morning as well. and I almost kind of credit my sleep deprivation and me being at the end of my rope and not having a day off in a while to me making that kind of like, decision.
Yeah.
Because when you talk about having a house full of stuff, like we were literally in the middle of renovating.
I remember
at the time. And my husband, who had no idea I lost my mind in this meeting, was literally having like a brand new tub install at our house because we were trying to like renovate to sell it, you know, in the coming year. And so he's literally blowing up. I'm in the meeting where I've just quit my job, and he's blowing up my phone because he thinks I should be like on my way home and like helping out with the contractors and all that stuff. Meanwhile, I'm just like, YOLO, I don't need his paycheck. He had no idea what was even going on at the time. And I remember it was such a movie-esque event. It was rainy and dark and stormy that day, just like, you know, you would, the weather would fit my mood. Yeah. Just like you'd imagine a movie set. And I remember they actually called around because it was so wet and so stormy. They actually called a security guard to come to the front door and drive me around to the host parking in the back of the building. So I didn't have to like walk the whole way. And I remember getting in the little go-kart thing that the guys had, the little enclosed, you know, zippered up go-kart. And he goes, well, how are you doing today? I said, I just quit my job. And he goes, what are you going to do now? I was like, I don't know.
Isn't it funny? We're laughing about it now. Cause I was shook up. I really was, but you have a much better mindset, I think, about it than I did. So, and you had taken steps that I had not taken at that point, which I think, and again, this is empowering for women. You know, you take care of yourself. You take the steps that you need to take. You work your side hustle to the point where, you know, you're in love with it. You know, you can make it work. Yeah. So you pulled around, and I've had that moment too, where you had to address the hubs and you had to say, hey, guess what? I'm going to be home tomorrow. How did that go?
Oh, no, I was actually so jovial, by the way, and I won't say her name, but it was one of the top hosts at this network. I actually ran into her on the way out. She's like, hey, Morgan, I was like, come on. I was like, I just quit my job. I did the same thing. And she laughed. She started laughing. She's like, oh, you're supposed to, I said, no, really.
Oh my gosh.
That's how jovial I was. I think I was in denial when I actually pulled the plug. But I show up back home, and like, I was like, so funny story. And our house is still full of contractors who are working on the bathroom. And I'm like saying it in front of the contractors who are probably like, we're not getting a paycheck, are we? You know? We're not getting paid for this. Like, so I just quit the job. And I was wondering if you wanted to go have margaritas at lunch today.
Oh my gosh. And knowing your husband, I know about this much, but I can imagine him saying, okay, let's go.
Yeah, exactly. And that's exactly what he did. He's the absolute saint. You know, he was part-time contracting at the time. He's actually a computer programmer. And he was doing part-time contracting for the government. And so his schedule is already very flexible. And so he's like, sure, why not? Let's go have some, you know, it was technically my night because the hours I work, midday margaritas for him, end of shift margaritas for me at 11 a.m., you know? And we kind of said, you know, hey, look, that plan we were talking about, we need to bump all that up by like 6 months now. We need to do it now. Now, luckily, here's the really great thing. So I've always been a freelancer on the side. I mean, from the time that I was 18 years old, I have always had a passion for, you know, Photoshop and graphic design and that kind of stuff. I just had no idea that you could make money doing it. I was certainly not the household I was raised in. My parents wanted me to go into medicine of all things, which I would really suck at, by the way. So like, I don't know where that comes from, but like, I had to give myself one COVID test this year and I nearly passed out. They're like, here, you do it. I'm like,
that's funny.
I don't know. It would not have happened. I mean, they wanted me to have a normal job. You know, the home shopping thing was already out in left field, like working for yourself as an artist, not happening. So that was not something that I thought that was going to, you know, be something that was doable. But over the years, I had been making a fairly consistent income, basically on accident from that side hustle. In fact, when I was in college, I was consistently making without even really trying, you know, $300-$400 every month, which doesn't sound like a lot, but it's a lot
when you're in college
kid.
Absolutely.
Yeah, without really trying to find customers. And then, you know, all through the home shopping stuff, from the time I was selling coins to the time I was selling jewelry, I was always doing that on my off time, doing a little bit of graphic design. Most months I brought in a minimum of $1,500. The month before I quit that job, I'd actually made $4,000 that month from just graphic design. And it's hilarious because that was the exact amount of the paycheck that I had taken home in the same month, same amount of time from my full-time job. And really that gave me the real, you know, gumption to be able to say, hey, look, I think I do have another way of making money. I don't think I need to be here doing this anymore. This isn't a great fit for me. The term I used was my heart is not in this anymore. And that's honestly what I think gave me the faith to walk away. My husband, the nerve to not murder me because he knew I was already capable of making money and I had that proof. And that's the thing I always tell people, if you are considering leaving your job, do have some kind of a backup plan. Like, you know, it's great for me to talk about my rage quit story. But I mean, really, I knew I was capable of making money. I already had somewhat of a business plan. I already had my branding in place. I just updated my website because it was part of my exit strategy, you know, so I already had certain things in place. I already had contacts in place and contracts and clients. And so really all I had to do was reach out to all those existing clients and say, hey, I'm all yours now. Like, let's do this.
Wow.
You know, please reach out to your people. If you know anybody that needs graphic design, you know, send me referrals. I'll appreciate any of that. I joined every online marketplace that was available to list my services and try to drum up clientele. I mean, I hit it hard because I just convinced myself whatever I was going to do, I was not going to return to a situation that I felt was very, very bad for me. And I knew I had to make it happen for myself. So, and that was the motivation that I had. And that's all that I needed. You know, I had the women that went before me that I saw made it okay. And gave me the, you know, the faith in myself to do that. I had my husband who knew I was capable of earning money and I knew I was capable of earning money. All I had to do was ratchet up and do what I believed in doing. And so, yeah, there we are.
Well, again, you've been so successful at what you're doing. And I know you're still working really hard. Not everything was difficult in Tennessee. One of the things that you and I share with that is we both fell in love with the Smoky Mountain area and
yes,
really enjoy it a lot, but you took it one step further. Why don't you talk a little bit about what would be your new side hustle?
It's funny because once you get the entrepreneur bug, because for the first couple of years, I was mostly just freelance graphic design. I did eventually expand into a small agency model just because we have a lot of interest in the kind of work that I do. And I have more than enough clients for myself. So I'm able to also employ other freelancers and contractors to help me out. But towards the end of 2019, I started getting a wild hair. Dad, my father-in-law, retired in 2019, and he was actually one of the original internet service providers in Newport, Tennessee. And he was starting to sell off portions of his business because he was actually an entrepreneur. My husband comes from an entrepreneur family. I do not. And I knew that one of the things that his ISP had were a lot of unused domain names that he'd acquired early in the 90s that were just never touched and never really did anything with it. You know, they were too busy offering, you know, internet services. And also eventually they were also involved in home shopping as well, which is how I kind of got into the world to begin with and was introduced to that. So when he retired, I kind of knew he always had those assets, and they were talking about selling, you know, everything off as a bundle. And I was just like, you know, I mean, I already do graphic design. Yeah, I was like, I already do graphic design and marketing. And I'm just like, hey, you know, what are you, because they were selling off for cheap, in my opinion, to some like other business guy. And I'm like, well, I'll make you an offer on just a handful of domains. Mm-hmm. And I gave him like $4,000 and I got like 10 domains. One was good. The rest were kind of,
but you got a good one.
The bundle price. Yeah, I got a really good one. And one of them was thesmokies.com. And I sat on it for a little bit and I kind of knew we wanted to do something with it. You know, I love the Great Smoky Mountains and the surrounding area. I mean, that is where I spent my childhood. I grew up right, you know, in the bordering town. We had season passes in Dollywood, like pretty much almost every single year. Like that was our go-to thing to do, was
where your heart is.
Gorge in Gatlinburg. Yeah. I mean, it still makes me happy when I go up there today. Like I'm taken back to the best moments of my childhood. I mean, I get on the parkway and even though you're half the time you're staring at, you know, red brake lights on the parkway because traffic is a nightmare, it just makes me happy. It's like my happy place, you know? Yeah. And so I just kind of thought that surely there's something that I can do there. Well, we put just a basic website up in 2019 without really much of a plan, just to kind of like have something on the domain name. It didn't really do very much. And we announced it on social media that we'd be doing something in the near future. You know, I call it a soft launch today. Yeah. It wasn't till the shutdowns actually in 2020 that I had a little bit of extra spare time on my hands. I was one of the lucky ones because in freelance graphic design, at least for mine, I didn't actually experience a huge shift or a huge lack of work, but there were definitely a couple of weeks of uncertainty that I wasn't working quite as many hours as I'd been used to. And I was like, all right, look, we need to go ahead and do something now on thesmokies.com, else we're not going to do anything with it. So I started thinking, all right, so I'm a businesswoman. I know how to sell things. Like I know how to get in the mind of my customers. You know, what do we need to build here? What do we actually need to make, you know, to get eyeballs on this website? Because I knew an audience was key, right? We know from the home shopping world, the number one most important thing is identifying your audience. And knowing who you're selling to and knowing what they are looking for. And so that's really where I started with the blog. It's amazing, actually, how much you can take from home shopping and apply in everything. Other facet of your
life.
Totally
agree.
It is crazy. Mm-hmm. So that's where I started. And one of the things I noticed at the time, because there were a lot of blogs about the Great Smoky Mountains and nearby attractions, but one of the things that they were all doing during this particular time frame, because remember we were in the shutdowns, yes, is they were just kind of in a standstill. They weren't doing anything. They cut off their advertising. There were no attractions or anything to cover. They felt like there really wasn't anything to write about, you know, because they were all very frou-frou, like what's going on all the time.
It hurts me a little bit, having grown up in the advertising business, which is before I got into mm-hmm. shopping, I was into advertising. I mean, that's exactly the time that a company should be reinvesting in itself. So enter Morgan. Yes, your timing was perfect.
Yes. And that's exactly what I saw. And so I thought, okay, like we have no competition right now. Let's go for it. And let's also write about topics that nobody else is writing about. You and I both know that East Tennessee, especially in the Great Smoky Mountains area, at its heart is a very small town. Mm-hmm. Sure, they do $1 billion a year in tourism revenue, but there's not even that many people that live, you know, in Sevier County. And they're certainly not, you know, a big, massive, maybe they've got a couple little local newspapers and stuff, but there's no like massive media organizations. In fact, the biggest TV stations that cover that area are in Knoxville, Tennessee, which is like 40 minutes down the road.
Right.
So I knew that since I've got, you know, I've got me, I've got my sister who's also a writer, I've got my husband as a programmer, we're all self-employed. So we can basically write about anything we want to. We can go after the stories. We can stay up all night if we want to do it. And that's what we did. We decided to start writing about things that were going on during the shutdowns that nobody else would write about. And we wrote about it in a way that the frou-frou blogs wouldn't even touch. We wrote about things that the the newspapers couldn't get to on time. Like, for instance, we knew that they would, you know, the newspapers go home at like 5 p.m. every single day, but half the news was happening at like 6, 7, 8, 9, midnight at night. Right. And we would literally get up in the middle of the night and be like, Ripley's Aquarium announces reopening, you know, Ripley's Aquarium has new safety measures, you know, here's what you need to know before you go. And by the time that our competitors woke up in the morning, like these massive news organizations, we already had the story because we were up.
That was really smart. Very brilliant. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
And it's funny because even though we don't even focus on like necessarily that breaking news today, quite like we used to, it got us that initial audience. And we grew our Facebook page. We had 400 likes at the time by focusing on the things that our competitors A, weren't able to do and B, didn't want to do. We grew our page. I think in under 2 months, we had like 8,000 followers.
Oh my
today
goodness.
We have, I think I was looking at this morning, I think it's something like almost 70,000 followers today. And we're just about a year.
High five. Past that. High five. Woo! That is phenomenal. That's phenomenal.
Yeah. It's pretty phenomenal. And we still, even today, even though our business model is constantly changing, because we still put the focus on the customer and the reader and what they want to read about. Like we, for instance, we don't look at what our competitors are writing about or the other blogs. We look at what people are Googling and we write about what people are Googling. We write about topics that we know other people can't write about. Like one of the most Googled terms coming into Gatlinburg, Tennessee, and you'll get a hoot out of this. And forgive me if this is like not an appropriate topic for your podcast, but one of the most Googled terms, because they just put up that Tennessee Hemp Care when you walk into Gatlinburg, that big store, when people were Googling, is weed legal in Tennessee? And we saw that trend. None of our competitors, and you we're know the city it. Is never going to write an article about that. So we wrote an article about that. We get constant traffic on that all day long. It's so funny from that one article.
And you know, we could do, if you're game for this, I'm really, this is interesting to me. If you are game, I would love to do a completely new episode, start fresh and just talk about your blog, if that's possible. We could talk
about it. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, sorry. I veered off too much in the blog.
But. Not at all. I mean, I can totally see where people would really get motivated to maybe write about their favorite town or their hometown and to really share that with people. I mean, on this show, we do a lot of travel. You know, we do a lot of like aspirational travel. You know me, I'm a very down-to-earth person. I'm not a person of means, but I love to see those fancy schmancy places, right? I love to visit all those exotic things. And so we do a lot of travel segments here. And I would love to do that with you if you're willing.
Yeah.
You're willing?
That's good.
All right. Mm-hmm. So the takeaways from today's show then have been, you know, don't be stuck in the mud. Make a move.
Yes.
You know, change your life. It's not normal to be unhappy. It's not comfortable to be unhappy. And you say just, what did you call it again? Rage quit, but do it with a purpose, right? Do it with a plan so that you're
some
ready.
Some kind of a plan.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly. Have some kind of plan in place. Do more of what I say and less of what I do. but also, like you said, just don't stay in a really bad situation. I mean, that's the thing that I tell people all the time. I mean, if you truly are in that bad situation and you know that anything would be better than what you have right now, then you do need to start making plans to go for it. You only get one life to live. And I also want to tell people before we go, this is my other really big disclaimer, is that don't assume everything on the other side of that fence is going to be coming up roses all the time. It's just not. You're going to have downfalls. You're going to have pitfalls. You know, that's life. No relationship is perfect. No job situation is perfect. Nothing in its life is guaranteed. And you need to know that going into it. But as a whole, there are better situations out there for you. If you were in the position like I was, where, you know, borderline depression and feeling like I was isolated and not seeing anybody, you know, so that's something to keep in mind too. No situation is perfect. Just think about, you know, if what you're in is right now is truly intolerable, then that's when you need to start kind of thinking about making a major life change.
Well, I wanted to honor what you've accomplished because it's been a lot in the last couple of years, but I also wanted you and I in particular to give people a push, maybe the push they need to go and make those changes in their life so that a year from now, you're not in the same spot and saying the same things are making you unhappy. Take charge of your life and make it better. You know, make it what you want it to be. Don't let somebody else define what you are or who you are. Don't listen to the outside voices. Do what makes you, you. So Morgan, if people want to continue the conversation with you, maybe they have some graphic arts needs, how do they reach out to you?
Oh, of course. Several different ways. The biggest way is going to morganoverholt.com, and it's morganoverholt.com. I'm also on all the social media platforms. I'm most active on Twitter. My handle is Morgan O Media. I'd love to connect with you there. I have a Patreon where I also offer small business advice and freelance coaching for any people who are looking to take the leap. So I'd love to interact with you guys.
That's wonderful. And I'm going to invite you guys all to personally come over and watch the next episode, which will talk about your blog. Well, thank you very much for spending the time with me. You really are solid gold. And I feel like this was a little bit of an ambush interview because we just said, okay, let's do it. So thank you for being flexible as well.
Yeah, no problem.
All right.
My favorite kind of interview.
I know, right? Until next time, everybody, keep shining and we'll see you with the next episode with Morgan. You're going to love it. Stay with us.
Thank you for joining us on You Are Solid Gold. We hope that you enjoyed it as much as we enjoyed bringing it to you. Would you please subscribe, like, and share this episode? If you know of a person, place, or thing that is a hidden gem that we should feature on Solid Gold with Michelle Lau, please submit it for consideration at hello@youaresolidgold.com. Now, get out there and shine.